Blog Talk Radio.
It's a very faithless and perverse generation. Can you say faithless and what else? What makes a man get perverted without faith? What's perverted our Christianity? Faithless.
Don't say that profess that God has given you power, love, and a sound mind, and your mind is not sound. You don't have power to overcome your present situation and circumstances.
Now, the devil is always pushing. You can recognize the demons working because they always push to impetuous, immediate action. Don't think, do. And the devil says, if you don't do it now, you'll miss the opportunity. If you don't move now, if you don't sell now, if you don't jump now, it'll be gone.
And the kingdom of God is best expressed by authority and power to cast out devils.
Listen, dear friends, don't forget that little word he said, seek ye first. Come on, that's the secret right there, seek ye first. Seek ye first. Oh, I tell you, the average person said, seek me first. That's it, seek me first. Put me first.
Well, anyone who opposes the kingdom of God and the casting out of devils. Because when we're of God's kingdom, our sole purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. Our sole purpose is to cast down Satan's kingdom.
I can tell you whether you won souls or not, whether you get your prayers answered, whether you're happy or not, whether you got a happy home or not, whether you work killing in the church or not. I can tell you, if you love your friend and let me see how you start your day out, if you grab a cup of coffee and a newspaper and sit down for an hour and let the Bible go begging, brother, you're mixed up in worldliness.
The Word of God said, we're going over to the other side. And in the midst of the Word of God said, we are going over to the other side, the enemy showed up in the storm. And the first thing that the enemy did was challenge those who walk with Christ, those who eat with him and slept with him and saw the miracle, the signs and the wonders done by him. The first thing that the enemy did was steal the word that they heard right out of their hearts and then allow doubt to rise up on the inside of them. And instead of believing what the Word of God said, they said, Lord, we perish.
Reading the word that's going to give you faith, that isn't what he's talking about. It isn't just hearing the word that's going to give you faith. You've got to open your spiritual ear or eye as you hear or read the word and appropriate by faith. Make it yours.
That'll sober you up. That ought to melt your silly heart. I'm not interested in your feelings and your little silly sentimentality. I'm wondering about your love for Christ and compassion for others. Do you care? I'm asking you one question tonight. Do you love Jesus or do you love this stinking world?
But God wants us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Deceiving ourselves. How many folks are deceived every single week? Going to hear what they call the word and it never once emboldens them or give them a desire or a passion to do the works of Christ.
We want just a bunch of sickly sentimentality, and we want to just fix up sort of a hiding place and a loophole for sinners to say, well, if that old cuss made it in, I can make it in myself.
The kingdom is within you, and the only kingdom that this world is going to understand until the king comes is what they see in us. Because now we are the only creatures that have the ability to walk in darkness and to walk in light.
How God's people go!
Hey, Shalom, Israel, Shalom, Shalom. I hope that I am coming through. And y'all can hear me. Did I get the right button? Yeah, I pushed the right button. Hey, glasses, bifocals, all that good stuff is tough to tell sometimes. Hey, I hope y'all had a blessed first day. I know you had a blessed Shabbat. Thank you for the radio check, Saints, Brother LWSC. Yeah, 10 already, appreciate it. Hey, thank you all for tuning in tonight. Of course, this is Elder Becker, Elder Douglas Becker, hosting tonight's show of the Brother segment of Straightway Truth Blog Talk Radio. Ah, Jesus, glory to the King. Been a long day. We've been busy. As Pastor always says, yeah, we've been busy putting our... when the Bible says work 6 days and rest, that's what we do. We definitely work 6 days and rest, and we can't wait for the rest. Beautiful message by Elder Mitchell yesterday. Absolutely timely. I know I appreciated it. A lot of good meat and substance in that. Very well said. Oh, a little more volume, Brother Elder says. All right, Brother. All right, I turned the volume up. How's that? Let me know how that is. Hope that's better. Hope you can hear me better. I don't know why the slider was down that far. Maybe I just need a little pump it up because all of the brothers that do the segments, you know, get their different preferences, who knows. Anyway, good to see y'all on the... Okay, appreciate everybody chiming in. Appreciate you again all for being in the room tonight. It shouldn't be long tonight. Last week, as you are well aware, I didn't come on Blog Talk Radio simply because I had a tooth extracted that had cracked in half, and it was incredibly painful. And I know there's ways to revitalize the teeth. I mean, Sister Ashley has proven that you can do that if you can live with the pain, but it was getting to the point where it's such a distraction, and because I talked to so many people, it just wasn't working out too well. So I had the tooth pulled, and anyway, when they pulled the tooth, they had problems doing that, and then they cracked the tooth behind it, so that was even more pain. Anyway, it's been the last 2-3 weeks of painful experiences. So anyway, I'm back tonight. Glory to the King. I give the Father all the praise and honor and glory for the opportunity to sit before Yah's people. All right, tonight the subject is going to be on the importance of fasting. I think the reason I'm really found it important to, bring this up tonight is because it's going to be more necessary than ever. I mean, it's going to be more necessary to do whatever we have to do to get our flesh under control, whatever we have to do to get our hearts more pliable, more humbled, more ready to hear from the Holy Spirit, because we just ain't there yet. We have so many distractions of this life. We have so many things that constantly are getting us to turn back to the flesh more than to the spirit, man, because of everything going on. It isn't like back in the time of Yahshua, the time of Daniel, all the men of old, and when they didn't have the distractions, and they still prove that, that's something you have to just get down and take hold of and do. Glory to the King. Anyway, with that, we're going to get started again, Brother Ugly. Appreciate it, as always, for being diligent and keeping the saints informed about the what verses we're using and the definitions. But with that, we're going to get started. Again, it shouldn't be too long, but I hope it brings some kind of impact. All right, the importance of fasting. Prayer coupled with fasting is a way to entreat and petition carefully before Yah for prayers to be heard and answered, to gain his mercy and favor, and to free us from distresses and calamities, those internal and external. Fasting is not pleasant. It is a time of affliction or humbling and mourning. It helps to demonstrate before the Most High that you are truly seeking his intervention, that you truly mean business with the Father. Fasting is bringing the body into subjection. It's crucifying the flesh. It helps keep the flesh down and under greater control. Fasting, many times, is a desperate act. Fasting is instrumental in breaking spiritual bonds and bands. Fasting brings humility and a weakness, enabling us to better hear from the Most High. It helps to place a divide between the flesh and the spirit. Fasting brings and allows greater spiritual clarity and connection with the Father.
Fasting brings strength to the spiritual man or the inner man. Fasting weakens the influence of demonic spirits and makes deliverance easier and quicker, breaking the bands of wickedness. Fasting for others who are in need is at the pinnacle of selflessness and love of the brethren. It is denying your own flesh for the sake of others, basically laying your life down. That's the way that you can do this in this life, is fast and pray for somebody else's welfare. It is truly being your brother's keeper. All right, we're going to start out in the book of Psalms, Psalms 109, verses 21 through 26. Psalms 109, 21 through 26. I kind of got this broken up into different categories. This here is seeking the Most High through fasting and prayer in regarding just to the individual, okay? And nobody, I don't think, that has demonstrated a greater, you know, what do you want to say, the testimony to the power of fasting David did, and King David did. So Psalm 109, verse 21. But do thou for me, O Yahweh and the Elohim, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good. Deliver thou me. So we have a petition of deliverance from the enemy. If you read the entirety of 109, at least that section of it, you're going to find out that David was seeking the face of the Most High because of the oppression he was getting from his enemies. Today we don't really deal with that kind of oppression physically, though we have our haters, those that speak evil about us. Jesus already said that that's going to be a fact, and you know, it's just part of what we expect living in holiness and righteousness, because the devil hates it. But you know, it's deliverance from also spiritual enemies, from demonic spirits, that sort of thing, and from evil men who desire injury and destruction of your whole being. So that's what David was actually petitioning Yah about, the enemies that were coming against him. For I am poor and needy. So what he's doing, he's defining his state. He's petitioning to Yah, his condition. He's setting up before the Most High the reason he's bringing this prayer to him, because he's got a situation going on. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like the shadow. So something happened to David that actually caused some pain in the heart, a wounded spirit. And he's crying out to be delivered from the reason for this being wounded and for putting himself in the state of being poor and needy, or he is weak and Yah is strong. I am gone like the shadow when it declineth. I am tossed up and down as the locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth at fasting. So we know by the indication of verse 24 that David was doing something leading up to the prayer and the petition of the Most High. He was actually putting him in a safe of afflicting his soul, putting himself in a humble state, because this is an area in his life that he really needed to be liberated from. So he went all in, everything, put his flesh to the side, wanted to hear greater from the Most High, be more in tune, and obviously wanted the Father to entreat him to his petition. I became also a reproach unto them. When they looked upon me, they shake their heads. Help me, O Yahweh, the Elohim, and save me according to thy mercy. So, again, we have an instance here of course, fasting combined with prayer. Now, is all fasting have to be a prayer? Sometimes it's just a way to bring the flesh in subjection. But here we have it coupled with prayer, which is, you know, most of the time the case, to help you get a better connection with the Most High. It does something that it's beautiful, the clarity it brings to your mind. We're going to talk about a little bit more about the benefits at the end, as far as it does in the physical and the spiritual. All right, Acts chapter 10, verses 30 through 35. Acts chapter 10, 30 through 35. And you'll find out that all the great men of Yah, even though it's not written, but I can assure you those that are written about, and those that, though they were after the Father's favor and true men of Israel, they all definitely spent time fasting and praying, because they wanted to make that connection with the Most High. They wanted to go to a place that wasn't available just for normal prayer. They had to add to it so they could make themselves weaker, so he could have more strength, and they could hear him more clearly. Acts chapter 10, verses 30 through 35. This is talking about Cornelius. Remember, he was of the Italian band. He wasn't of the nation of Israel. But yet, he was implementing the things that it was necessary to reach the Yah, the Hebrews. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. So it doesn't tell you what Cornelius's prayer was or what he wanted Yah to hear him or entreat him about. But the fact is, it was an activity. He went into the phase of fasting because he wanted Yah to truly hear him. And Cornelius said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of Yahweh. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that Yah is no respecter of persons. So Cornelius knew something. He knew he just wanted to have the relationship with Yahshua and be accounted in the kingdom. He probably knew about the Torah. He probably knew about the stranger, but he obviously heard the words that were preached of the gospel of the kingdom, and he just wanted more. There was just something, because Yah knows them that are his. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that Yah is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Well, so much for the, just the natural-born Israelites. No, in every nation, he that feareth him. It gives Peter, the apostle, that was with Yahshua HaMashiach, is making a very profound statement there. Is accepted with him. Who knows? Again, what did Cornelius, what was his objective? Not only to be heard, but was he actually, he was demonstrating a level of fear, a reverence towards the Most High. And how can Yah refuse that? He's not going to refuse that. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 18 23, 2 Samuel 12, 18 through 23. And again, we're covering different aspects of fasting for in the individual. We'll be covering as for a corporate and what that produces, the results that produces. We're going to be covering actually laying down your life, praying and fasting for other individuals. There's power here. There really is a power. And it's going to be, Yah may make it so that it's going to be like a forced fast. So it actually, because it's amazing how he operates. He actually may prevent a stay of bread, right? You may get a small meal once a day. And it's kind of it's going to show you where your flesh is at, but it's also going to show you that it's going to bring more clarity in the mind and more things. But you can actually have a better, more prayer life because, you know, we're supposed to desire the meat of the word, the truth, above our necessary bread anyway, that thing which sustains our life physically on this earth. 2 Samuel 12, 18 through 23. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. Of course, you all know the story, you're familiar with it, is that, David took Bathsheba in adultery, and they conceived a child, and she's with child, and the child is born, and David is petitioning Yah. Obviously, the child wasn't looking well, or whatever the case may be, but, he's still setting himself in a position, hopefully, that Yah will entreat his prayers. So he goes to the depth where he's gonna go in a complete fast. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died, and the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. He totally isolated himself. He wanted no distraction, nothing else. He was totally looking to hear from the Most High, to be entreated of the Most High. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Well, let me get my pages here. And David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of Yahweh and worshiped. And then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him. Okay, so they're questioning, what in the world is going on here? What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for a child while it was alive, but when the child is dead, thou didst rise and eat. So David's going to explain to them, because they're totally without understanding, why he did it and the reason for it. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fast and wept, for I said, who can tell whether Yah will be gracious to me that the child may live? So you have a clear demonstration of another soul that was in peril. His life was on the line, and David did all that he knew that he could do, because Yah, with him, nothing is impossible. There's nothing too hard for him. David knows this. He knows the testimony of the greatness of the Most High. So David's going to pull out all the stops, seek Yah with all his faith, afflict his flesh, and get into his prayer closet and go as deep as he can with the Most High in cries and utterance and in mournings and anguish, and hopefully that he'll be entreated of the Most High. Can you change Yah's will? Yah's already got things prescribed, set in order, you know, from the foundation of this earth. But again, who knows? But David is willing to try. So David says, who can tell whether Yah will be gracious or give me favor and allow this child to live? But now he's dead. Wherefore should I fast? I mean, what's the purpose? What's the intent? Why? Because I'm mourning for my child, and so I'm going to fast because of the death of somebody. Well, that a lot of times that's an emotional state when people, there's the death of a loved one or whatever the case may be, and they don't feel like eating. There's a difference in there. But David's saying he was trying to entreat Yah at this point. Can I bring him back again? Shall I go to him, but he shall not return to me? So there's nothing I can do anymore, right? This is done. It's over. I did what I could do while he was still living, but Yah decided to take him home. He heard me. I'm sure he heard me, but he's not going to answer me on this particular case, but I did what I thought was necessary. All right, Joel chapter 2, verses 1. Let me see, Joel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and then going through 12 down to 19. So, Brother Ugly, Joel 2, 1 and 2, and then Joel chapter 2, 12 through 19. All right, glory to the King. All right, the prophet Joel says, blow ye trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. The day of Yahweh is cometh, for it is nigh on hand. So Joel is making a declaration. Yah is speaking to Joel. He's making a declaration that this, of course, is for this time, that the day of Yahshua is coming. It is nigh in hand, and he's trying to get the mind of the people prepared. So Yah is speaking through him. He's gonna send a message to the people. This is what I need for you to do. This is the thing that you need to pay attention to so you can get ready when this day actually gets here. Don't wait till it comes. It's too late. But be wise, like the five wise. I'm giving you prescribed instructions ahead of time, and I'm telling you what you need to do. And he goes on to say, this is going to be a day of darkness and gloominess, describing for the people what they're about to enter into, what they need to prepare their hearts and minds for. It's not going to be a joy and love and everything else and carefreeness. No, it's going to be a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been other the like, and this shall there will be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. So it was a time to really search ourselves and prepare for the coming of the King. So he goes on to say, this is what you need to do to get yourself ready for this time period, for this day. Therefore also now saith Yahweh, turn, this is coming straight from the Most High. Turn ye even to me with all your heart and with fasting and with weeping and mourning. So he wants you to afflict your soul. He wants you to humble yourself and turn to him, because he's looking to produce something out of his people. He wants a certain reaction from them. He is showing so much love and expressing his love that he's giving you the instruction exactly what he needs for you to do to get right, for when that day cometh, when the coming of the Messiah is here. And rend your heart and not your garments. All right, forget the external stuff. This is stuff that you have to do with on the issues of the heart. I want you to fast, and I want you to do it with weeping and mourning so you can get your heart prepared for when I come. And that can even be not just the actual coming day of the Most High. That's the state that we need to be in all the time. So who knows the time is appearing? Who knows the time when he's going to call you home? So you have to be fasted up and prayed up and ready for that time, even in this life, even before we're in that time, but we haven't seen the coming. We haven't seen the sign of the Messiah yet. And rend your heart, not your garments. Turn unto Yahweh, your Elohim, for he is gracious and merciful. It's amazing how the people of old recognized that he's gracious, he's slow to anger. So this is being spoken through Joel by the Most High, these instructions. And Yah is telling the people his character. He's trying to entreat them. This is a loving, generous Elohim. And turn unto your Yahweh the Elohim, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Well, Yah don't do evil, so of course that's a King James thing. But of course it's not an outward manifestation of fasting, but that which is from the heart, that which is internally devout and real, taking you to a whole nother level. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering, drink offering, of Yahweh the Elohim. So he's setting up the people. First, he's getting it in their heads that this is something you need to get taken care of. This is something you need to enter into because it's critical for the appearing of the Most High. He wants you to be ready for a day that people's knees are going to shake, their men's hearts will fail them for fear. But he's trying to get us ready to be able to get through that day. So he does it for the individual. Now what he's going to do is Joel is going to even express more that this is going to be a corporate type of situation. Not just one or two individuals getting yourself, but joining together in unity and crying out to the Most High. So blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, set it apart, call a solemn assembly. I want you all to come into my house. I want you to enter in with this mindset that we're going to entreat the Most High with the petitions and prayers that he would hear us and help us. Because Yah is going to know them are his. They're going to see the ones that are actually displaying and demonstrating this type of zeal, this type of passion, that are actually going to set themselves apart to do this. Call a solemn assembly. Don't tell him what he's going to do to be able to clean you up and get you ready. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, get them all together, sanctify them. Assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that nobody's going to be excluded. And those that suck the breast, let the bridegroom go forth out of the chamber, and the bride. This is a critical time. Let the priests, the ministers of Yahweh, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Yah, and give not thine heritage to reproach. Save us, Father, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore they should say among the people, where is their Elohim? Because in this time, that's what people can say. I mean, that's what happened to when Yahshua was on the stake. You know, where is his Elohim? Where's the one? Why is he crying out? Why isn't the Elohim doing something? Well, he did do something for him. So we're in that same start, that same mindset, that same type of approach that we have to have too. For Yahweh will be jealous for his land and pity his people. Why? All because they called a solemn assembly and they declared a fast. And this was all the things that it took for Yahweh to pity his people. And you may have to do it for somebody else because other people are just not going to get willing to commit themselves to actually making this sacrifice of their own flesh. Yea, the Most High will answer and say unto his people, if all these things are done, this is what the answer of Yah. Behold, I will send you corn and wine and all these things that refresh the soul, refresh the flesh. But they have to go something to get there to be replenished, right? They have to be willing to step aside themselves and sacrifice themselves on the inner man. And you should be satisfied therewith and will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. All this deliverance is coming simply because these people are going to humble themselves and seek Yah's face. All right, Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Nehemiah 1, 1 through 7. And these were great men of Yah, not only prophets, but servants of the Most High that had a real love for the kingdom. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chesalu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and asked them concerning the Yehudims that had escaped, which were left of the captivity concerning Jerusalem. So we have Nehemiah, one of his brothers, asking what the situation was in Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant they are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and gates thereof are burned with fire. So they're giving a report of what they see, the destruction that just took place. You know, they have the Babylonian captivity that came in there and overtook the city. And then you're going on to the Medes and Persians. So, you know, Jerusalem just raked over the coals, basically, right? Verse 4, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the Yah of Elim. So the minute that Nehemiah heard these words, he went into action. He knew exactly what he had to do to hopefully get the ear of the Most High. So he fasted, and then he coupled that with prayer, and he did that certain days or many days, not just one here and there. He really wanted to entreat the Most High because he was grieved for what had just happened to Yah's holy city. And he said, I beseech thee, O Yahweh, the Elohim of heaven, and the great and terrible Yah, that keepeth covenant mercy from them, for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest, Jesus help me, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant. So he has a hope. Nehemiah, it isn't a assured thing, but he's going to this extent, hopefully, that Yah will entreat him about what he's trying to say. Which I pray before thee now, not just happenstance, not just, you know, 5 minutes, but day and night. This is a real solid, I really want you to hear me, Yah. I have a petition. I need you to help me. For the children of Israel, thy servants, confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. So Nehemiah wasn't ignorant to the fact that why all this was happening in Israel and to the people, because they were in a state of transgression. So now he's not only repenting for himself, but also for the condition of the people. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments nor the statutes. He's admitting fault. What else can you do? I mean, make it look like that it's, you know, it just happened to you out of nowhere. No, there was a reason all this was happening. He could obviously recognize this. Well, the judgments thou commandest thy servant Moshe. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a break, and because we're at the bottom of the hour, and we will be right back.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell, Jr. That's Charles Dowell, Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G. T-O-N, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, and Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E, 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Yes, shalom, the King is coming. Glory to the King. All right, we're back at it now. We actually are halfway through it, so it might just be only an hour, but glory to the King. I appreciate y'all sticking around. All right, going back into Ezra now. We just dealt with Nehemiah. Now we're going to talk about Ezra because, of course, these people were coming out of a very troubled time, and they knew what it took to actually get into contact with the Most High. Ezra chapter 8, verses 21-23. Ezra 8, 21-23. And of course, those that everybody knows that the time of Ezra and Nehemiah were joined together. I mean, Ezra was the priest, the high priest in that time. And then Nehemiah, of course, he was worked in the palace of the king, but they both had a real love for Israel and for the people and for the Elohim, for Yahweh Elohim, of course. All right, Ezra 8:21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might afflict or humble ourselves before our Elohim, to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. So we have the situation that Ezra needs true direction. We really need to know what needs to take place next, because they're going to make a journey to the city of Jerusalem and see what they can do to get the holy city back up and rebuilt again, because this is Yah's holy city that is called by his name. So before he's making any action, before he's making any steps, he wants to know exactly what Yah would have them to do. He wants to know what the will of the Most High is. So he just doesn't get it out there in prayer. He actually does something even greater extent. He adds fasting to that so they can get a clear communication with the Most High and hopefully be entreated of him. And not only for him, but he's making it for everybody. He says it clearly that to seek of him, Yahweh, a right way for us, including everybody, and for our little ones, all the people. Because that is a very fearful place to be in, that type of leadership position. You want to make sure that when you're dealing with Yah's people that you're leading them as Yah would have them to go. Verse 22, for I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our Elohim is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them forsake him. So they had already boasted of the mightiness of the Most High. And all of a sudden they're having this like, what's going on here? Well, we just want to make sure that what we had just committed to in our words actually comes to pass, So they're like, okay, we're going to make sure this happens, right? So we fasted and besought our Elohim for this, and he was entreated of us. So he actually heard them. And he was entreated and provided for them the direction that they needed to go. Basically, I was going to read through Esther, but there's so much in there, but I'll just recount the story. Again, they had a situation there that Haman actually come to hate the Yehudims that were in the land and under the rule of the king there, and he was seeking to destroy him. Of course, this is Satan again. And what they did is, of course, Esther was going to go to the king and petition him, but you just don't show up because it might be the death sentence, right? So, and before she just presumptuously just went and approached the leadership, you know, her uncle Mordecai said, this is what we need to do. Esther is the one that gave Mordecai, this is what we need to do then. We need to get the people together. We need to sanctify a fast. We need to gather all the people of Israel, because all this is going to reflect on them. Whatever the pronouncement is, if Haman's decree is actually allowed to go through, it's going to mean the death of all of us. So we all better get active in this thing and petition the Most High so that he will save us again. So we have another demonstration again of the people becoming corporate and seeking out the Most High. Was everybody involved in it, or did everybody put themselves? I doubt it, but the fact is that the proclamation went out, and Yah knows them that are his. He also sees the thoughts and intents of a man's heart. So if there is a corporate fast ever called for any reason, he can see who's actually going to get involved and who isn't. And the woe would be on the ones that didn't take him seriously, I'll tell you that much. All right, going to the Apocrypha of the Book of Tobit. Tobit chapter 12, verses 6 through 9. Tobit 12, 6 through 9. Then he said to them secretly, bless thee the Yah of heaven, give glory to him in the sight of all that live, because he has shown his mercy to you. And we should give glory, should give thanks, you should give praise every day. What was I dealing with some of the other day? And it was, I believe it was a young man, but at the end of the conversation, it was, you know, the only thing that came into my head is ungrateful, unthankful, unholy people. You know, he said he himself was part of Israel. People had bent over backwards for this young man, but yet he had the gall to treat him like that. Well, I tell you what, you want to get me upset, and whew, boy. That one upset me. Anyway. Then he said to them secretly, bless you the Yah of heaven, give glory to him in the sight of all that live, because he has shown his mercy to you. For it is good to hide the secret of a king, to reveal and confess the works of the Almighty. Prayer is good with. So Tobit is telling you what prayer is good, but he's trying to combine it there to bring more of an impact. Why it is so critical. Why it is so important. Why is it good? When it's combined with fasting and alms, more than lay up treasures of gold. This is the stuff that really, it's not the wealth of this world. It's not the material things of this world. The only thing that can really reach the Most High and is prayer is good, but it's even better with fasting and alms. For alms delivers from death, and the same as that which purgeth away sins and maketh them find mercy and life everlasting. All right, we're going to talk a little about fasting and prayer for others. You know, entering into a fast while praying for others so you can bring a deeper, greater impact. Hopefully that Yah would be entreated of the prayer by the afflicting or humbling of our souls. It actually comes down to the love of the brethren. It really does. It shows you, it'll tell you what, where your heart is at. And I mean, I understand we have busy lives. We have a lot of stuff in front of us. We have a tremendous amount of distractions. But again, it's that private time in your prayer closet that Yah sees that's going to reward you openly. Though you're doing it in secret, like Yahshua said, he's going to reward you openly, because your intent in that time in your prayer closet in lifting up somebody combined with fasting, because you could see that they're going through a trial, you're going through an affliction, going through whatever the case may be, at least you know that you had enough love for your brother that you actually went to that level and you put your own flesh out of the way. You afflicted your own self. You've made the sacrifice from, you know, because in food it brings comfort, just like all the stuff of the flesh. But again, it's the rejection of the flesh or bringing in subjection so you can benefit somebody else is the stuff. That's the poor and needy that Yah is looking out to. Those that are having issues in this life. Psalms 35, verses 12 through 14. Psalm 35, 12 through 14. Now, this is, again, a prayer of David. And go back and read the whole thing in context. But just to break down a paraphrase, he was dealing with people that he found out later on that he was actually putting, extending himself. I mean, he really went to the extent for these people because he believed that they had a love for him. They believed that they were important in Yah's kingdom. Whatever, it doesn't say who these people were, but he finds out later that these people were actually his enemies. So he recounts this in his prayer before the Most High. Psalm 35, verses 12 through 14. And they rewarded me evil for good to the spoil. You talk about turning on your brother. I mean, anyway, they didn't know that he was actually doing for this, but what a kick in the rear end. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. In fact, the evil, the hatred, the extent for whatever it is towards David, for whatever reason this offense came in, man, they didn't have the love of Yah in their house manifested like David did. But as for me, when they were sick, all right, when David saw their position, when they were weak, when they were afflicted, I just didn't idly sit by and just watch him go through this. He said, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my own bosom. He actually went out on a limb. He actually had a love, such a love for his people that he was in his prayer closet. He was actually getting, afflicting, humbling himself, you know, not putting any food in his mouth for the benefit of somebody else. And I behaved myself as though he had been my friend and brother. This is how he approached his whole situation. I bowed down heavily as one that mourned for his mother. That's the extent of his heart and the greatness and love that his heart was for whatever this person was that these people were enduring at that time, the issues they had going on in their life. He sought and he committed prayer and fasting to the Most High that Yahweh might entreat David according to his prayer and fasting for the other people's benefit. So David knew the importance of actually getting down because he'd seen Yah's example. He knew that the Most High could deliver man from anything. And he didn't waste any time. This is how the same type of commitment and level of commitment and the love that we should have for our brothers and sisters, especially when they're going. It doesn't have to only be physical. It can be something that's, you know, spiritual, mental, whatever the case may be. Are we at that level yet? No. Are we getting there? I believe, yes, we are getting there. And that's going to develop even more and more as you spend more time with the Most High, as you get that true love for the brethren down in your heart. Because it's just going to be something that's going to like, All right, Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1. Isaiah 58, 1 through 11. All right, this is Yahshua talking to the prophet Isaiah. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. So Yah's particular objective right here through the mouth of the prophet is I want you to declare something to my people again. I want to show you where their heart is at. I want you to make it known in their ears the state that they're in. And this is Yah's going to recount. And he's going to use the prophet Isaiah to tell the people what they're doing, putting on a show outwardly what they're doing, but Yah already sows the thoughts and intents of their hearts, and he's going to correct them in this behavior. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. So they're actually putting on basically a play. They're putting on an act that they're out there every day doing whatever they're doing, but it's a half-hearted, half-assed measure. Right, it's an outward appearance of things to be seen of men, and they're pretending they want to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of the Most High, so they're actually putting it out there like, they truly are right. They're truly not in a wicked way. They're pretending that this is the case right now, that we're actually, our hearts are right, that we haven't forgot or gone away from the commandments, the statutes, the ordinance of the Most High. They're pretending, but Yah's not going to be fooled. We all know that. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to Yah. You know, approaching to the Most High in an attitude and a fashion as though all is well and good, and they are in good standing with the Most High, being deceived of them own selves, attempting to demonstrate and show others around them how holy and righteous they believe themselves to be, all the while falling under the delusion that their ways and self-righteousness is to be recognized and approved of the Most High, and he's not going to have none of it. Verse 3, Wherefore have we fasted and say, Jesus, let me try this again. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate. You smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. So Yah's not buying none of it. This type of fasting is nothing more than eye candy and window dressing. This approaching to the Most High, this outward appearance. It is not done to alleviate and lessen the burden of anyone else. It is actually tempting Yah with lies and falsehoods, tempting Yah to approve of the way of flesh and sin. It is veiled self-righteousness. It is self-justification. It is bearing false witness against the Most High. This was a delusion these people were actually on. They were going through the motion and believing that Yah should be accepting of their type of affliction, their type of humbling themselves, their type of reaching out to him. But he wasn't buying none of it because he knew it wasn't from the heart. It was just there to, what do they call it, to appease him. But Yah, again, wasn't having, he knows those that are genuinely enter into this state, in this condition, in this frame of mind. He's not going to be fooled. We all know that. All right, verse 5. Well, okay, verse 4 again, but he told them straight out what they were doing. I mean, he didn't leave it uncovered. He made it clear to them, this is how you're approaching me. This is how you think you're going to fast and afflict your soul and make it work for me. But that's not the case. I'm going to tell you what you're doing, and you're a bunch of liars. Verse 5, is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this fast an acceptable day to Yahweh? Is it such a fast as he had chosen? That's the question he's asking. This is Yah through the prophet telling the people as to say to them, this is something that I would, is this something that I would sanction and approve of? This form and fashion of fasting is not of Yah in a way of which Yahweh does not approve or look favorably on. So he's putting it back on the people. I don't accept this. This is a bunch of crap. You think this stuff is satisfactory to me? No, this is a bunch of foolishness. This is all this is. And he's going to go on and tell you, this is the fast that I have chosen. This is the reason this type of fasting combined with prayer is the thing that's actually going to bring, is going to be pleasing to me, that I will hear the prayers, that I will actually produce and give you results based on the prayers that you're sending up, because it's coupled with true afflicting and humbling in the soul and true love for the brethren. So he goes on in verse 6, is this not the fast that I have chosen? I'm going to tell you, this is the kind of fast that I find acceptable. This is the type that to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Okay, the fast which he chosen, again, the question mark. This type of fast is the one that he actually sanctifies and approves of. The one that loose the bands of wickedness, undo the heavy burdens, and let the oppressed go free. This is what he's looking for, and you have to get to another level of prayer, and it's going to take fasting to get here, but this shows a true love and care and consideration for your brethren. The fast which I have chosen. Now, Yah, through the mouth of the prophet, is telling the people that this is the way of fasting that gets my approval and my attention. Fasting which produces good fruit. Fasting which tends to a state of humility and a place of submission before Yahweh. Fastings which help us to look on the needs of others and to seek Yah on behalf of their life struggles. This fasting is fasting which Yah points and looks upon favorably. Verse 7, is it not to deal thy bread? So again, he's still breaking it down, the importance of the type of fast that he approves of. This is all the fruit, and this is the result of what you're going to see in this type of prayer combined with this level of fasting. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, or esteeming another above thyself to the point where the hungry eat and you don't? Is it not? That's the ultimate sacrifice, right? Esteeming somebody else above your own sake. That thou bring the poor that are cast out into thy house? So Yah's got his eyes on the poor and needy, and he's looking for somebody else in a better condition to actually help them, to be a benefit to them. When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh. Now, when he's talking about, again, a question, that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh. Okay, well, that actually means this: you're actually forsaking your neighbor or your kin, those that are your fellow Israelites, ignoring their plights and their afflictions of your fellow Israelites, and wrapping yourself inside your own comfortable world, turning a blind eye to the needs of your brethren. So after that, he goes on to say that if you meet the conditions of this fast, if you're truly passionate, if your heart has a true love and desire for your fellow brethren, for my people Israel, for those that are called by my name, this is what's going to benefit you. You're going to see the result of of what you sacrificed. And he's going to go on to tell you in these next few verses the benefit from doing that. Not that we're looking for any benefit, but other than the freedom and deliverance of our brothers and sisters. But he's going to tell you, he said, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and then thine health shall spring forth speedily. Oh boy, so if you're in a condition, you're afflicted, you have some issues in your body, but you can take yourself to a point of fasting and prayer, he's actually promising health here. There's going to be a health benefits to doing this. And there, he may actually be healed just by going out there for somebody that's praying for their affliction to be healed. You may be healed yourself. And thy righteousness shall go before thee, because that which is done in secret shall be rewarded openly. And the glory of Yahweh shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and Yahweh shall answer. Thou shalt cry. When is he going to do all this stuff? When are you going to call and he's going to answer? When are you going to cry and he shall say, here am I? Is when you actually have a true heartfelt love for your brother combined with prayer and fasting, afflicting on yourself on the benefit of somebody else. If thou take away the midst of thee, the yoke, the putting forth the finger and speaking, you get rid of all these wicked, foul ways and do as I told you how to really fast. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, actually be something, your love and your eyes should be toward your brother, and satisfy the afflicted soul. How do you do that? Again, by fasting and prayer. Then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as all, you're going to be revealed for all people to see. You're going to get your reward openly for the benefits you were doing behind the scenes. And it does take, it takes a huge sacrifice to actually, and I've been there and done that. I'm not bragging, but I have been for somebody else's soul before, and souls, to the point of praying, fasting, crying out with a true anguish. And I saw Yah deliver them. Hallelujah. And if thou, okay, draw out thy soul long to fast and afflict one soul for the benefit of others. We covered that. These are some of my notes, so I don't forget. To reach down to the uttermost parts of the inner being and pour out yourselves petitions and prayers of help and aid to those who are struggling. And of course, the more you that are joined together in corporate prayer, if you see somebody in a way and afflicted and they need some help and Satan's got them in the snare, man, call your brother. Call your sister. Hey, look, you know, there's a situation going on here with so-and-so, brother, so-and-so, sister, so-and-so. Of course, definitely keep that always in mind for the pastors and the elders, those that have to make the decisions in Israel. But that's the time to say, come on, let's enter into a fast together in prayer and afflicting on souls, and perhaps Yahweh would be entreated to us and help deliver our brother or sister. That's the level that we're going to have to get to as we get closer to the end. And even now we should be putting that into practice. The benefits outweigh anything else. I mean, you're not going to starve to death. You're not going to drop over. You're going to feel weak. Some people do, some don't. I can tell you this much. When Yah really puts me on a fast, I mean, not too long ago, he had me on a 3-day fast, joined with somebody else on behalf of somebody else. He actually put it in my spirit to do, right? And I really didn't feel the hunger. I didn't have any problem with it at all. It was beautiful. I mean, it didn't. And so I could tell Yah, you know, you have the other fast where you just do it to, you know, afflict yourselves, get close to Yah, but also to, you know, bring the flesh in subjection, which is all good. Try eating one meal a day instead of two, or the Americans eat three, right? As the Western diet is, you know, even that. Anything that little bit that you can do to whatever, to not only spiritually, you know, resist the thoughts and whatever else, but physically to also bring the and listen to it kick. I mean, everybody knows that fast, how badly the flesh fights against fasting. That's because it's important. All right, verse 11. And Yahweh shall guide thee continually. This is all because of the benefit of for somebody else. And satisfy thy soul and draw it and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a water guard, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. You want to really seek Yah's pleasure and his favor, man, this is what you need to do. And he said, he guaranteed you can hold him to his word, accountable to his word, because this is what he said it would do. And why will Yahweh do these things for you? To satisfy your soul, to keep you fed in times of trouble and famine. That's what we're coming into. Because your heart was towards those who were in need of divine help and intervention. Because your hearts were looking on the needs of others more than your own selves. To the point you're, again, laying down your life for your brother. All right, overcoming strongholds in us and for others. Again, this is about benefiting yourself and others. Matthew chapter 17, verses 19 through 21. Matthew 17, 19 through 21. Then came the disciples to Yahshua apart and said, why could we not cast him out? Again, you have to go back and read it in context. They were dealing with a young man who had, I believe it was a deaf and dumb spirit, the lunatic spirit. I don't remember which one it was. But because remember, that he sent them out two by two, and they were going out, they were casting devils out of everybody. They were in the name of Yahshua. The demons were coming out of people. And all of a sudden they get to this one. I don't know if they were overconfident, over bold, or what, but they came up against a principality like they'd never seen before. And they were doing everything they did before when they had success. But all of a sudden it's like, what in the world is going on here? There's a situation here. This spirit won't come out, man. It's resistant. And we got our training right from Yahshua HaMashiach, from Yah Elohim manifest on earth. So what is the deal? So they bring the question to Jesus. They went off to the side. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Wow, just how do you actually say that to somebody's face when they had just demonstrated? You can go back and read in John 6 where they went out and got sent out. You know, the 70 went out and they came back. And Jesus said, don't rejoice because the devils are subject unto you, or that others are healed. But he told them what to rejoice in, that their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But they got a situation here, and he says because it's unbelief, and they got to go like, what? Twisting their lip. It's like, man, we just saw the faith demonstrated time and time again. But verily I say unto you, if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, so he's actually bringing them down to a humble level again and say, look, folks, you don't even know where you're at in real faith. You shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out. This type, this spiritual principality, this power, this foothold will not leave this person. Because remember, Jesus said, in my name you shall cast out devils. And he's actually saying something in regards even greater than that. Is that he's making the blanket statement, you're not going to get this one out except by prayer and fasting. And who, on whose part? Not on the part of the person getting delivered. It's on the part of the people that is calling the spirit. So they have to go to a deeper level of faith, and they have to do these things through prayer and fasting to get rid and remove themselves out of any doubt and unbelief so they can get the people free. All right, Acts chapter 14, verses 21 through 23. And this is fasting and prayer to get Yah's true direction and his confirmation about something. These are just different demonstrations that we have in the word. And when they had preached the gospel of that city, these are the, you know, talking about Paul and the apostles, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we through much tribulation enter in the kingdom of God. That's one verse that I quote to myself all the time and tell others again that I speak to almost daily about situations, circumstances. It's not that we're going to have ease and comfort getting into the kingdom. It's much tribulation we shall enter into the kingdom. Trials, tribulations of your faith to show you. It's all there because Yah loves you, trying to show you where you're lacking, where you're falling short. Hey, people get into a new situation they never dealt with them spirits before, right? Life has been good. You got rid of these spirits, and Yah brings you into another place or another situation where you get a whole new batch of spirits that I mean, how many people are in polygyny, you know? That's a perfect example that I don't want to get off track here, but I'm just showing an example that, you know, if it's just husband and wife in monogamy, and then they bring a sister into it, and, you know, a man takes another wife, then all of a sudden you have the issue to deal with jealousy and envy. You may have never had that before against another sister because it was just you and your husband. See, so Yah loves you that much that he's going to put you in situations, circumstances where you actually can experience that spirit. Hopefully you don't receive it, but it allows you the opportunity to repent. Turn will show you where your weakness is and get free, and that's going to take fasting and prayer, especially with the principality. If you want to get yourself ready for deliverance, that's what you do, fast and prayer. And when they had ordained them elders in every city or in every assembly and had prayed with fasting and commended them to Yahweh, whom they believed. So they just didn't haphazardly say this person, even though they got a witness in the spirit, that this is somebody that is going to be set in a position as an overseer. They actually prayed and fasted, and then they commended on the Lord. Or they, as the word commended means, is that they committed them to the Most High, right? They did something to make sure that they were totally right in the direction they were going to ordain this certain person, because you don't want to put the wrong people over Yah's people. That of course, you already know what's going to happen there. That's going to be another Diotrephes type of situation. All right, fasting and prayer between husband and wife, and we're almost through. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 3 through 5, and this is out of the Lamsa Peshitta version. I don't know if you have that, Brother Ugly, but that's what it's out of. Let the husband give to his wife the love which he owes her, and also, likewise also the wife to her husband. And, of course, the King James is talking due benevolence. So it's talking about sexual exchange. The wife has no authority over her body to shut out the husband, but her husband, and likewise also the husband has no authority over his body but his wife. They can't exclude each other. Therefore, do not deprive one another except when both of you consent to do so, especially at the time when you devote yourselves to fasting and prayer, and then come together again, that so Satan may not tempt you because of your physical passion. So what Paul is saying is that there's going to be a time that is to be established and reckoned to fast and pray for whatever situation is going on between the husband and wife. Look, Satan's in the midst. There's trouble coming together here. We got to do something about this, right? And at this time, it is the implication is there's not going to be any sex going on because you're setting yourself apart in a solitary place, joined together in agreement out of the mouth of two or more. You let every word be established, so they're bringing back the rule and order of the scripture. Fast and pray about whatever situation might need a deeper seeking out of the Most High so they can get a solution to whatever's going on. And it looks as though Paul is also instructing the husband and wife team not to go on to great long fast, as the temptation to engage in sexual activity may become very strong during extended time of separation. So this is a time to even exclude in fleshly pleasures and enjoyment of each other, to actually seek Yah to get a resolution or whatever. So that's actually strengthens the house, brings it back into order. All right. Psalm chapter 35, verses 11. Where in the world did that come from? That shouldn't even be there. Forget that. Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Matthew chapter 6, 16 through 18. Where in the world did I get that? I must have, I don't know. Sometimes when you copy and paste, that's what happens. But Matthew 6, 16 through 18. Moreover, when you fast, so Yahshua is giving you, he's giving you a warning, he's giving you admonishment. He's, you know, and this is going back to the same people in Isaiah 58 that had the outward appearance, but Yah already knew what was their heart was. They were under the strong delusion of their own self. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast, because people that were regarded to do much fasting and afflicting the souls were looked on as people that really truly had a love in the Most High, right? That they were really in Yah's favorite. They were really devout to the Most High and to his kingdom. But Jesus is telling them that this ain't the case. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. They shall get it. They're going to get it from the Most High. They're not going to receive any of the benefits of the true fasting like it talked about in Isaiah 58. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash. You know, it was that important that Jesus actually had to address this, because fasting is that type of power. It has that type of greater level of spirituality, and Jesus actually addressed this, right? He could have left it go and said nothing, but he brought this out for all of our learning and admonition. But when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto Yahweh the Elohim, which is in secret, that thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And I understand that in this dispensation of time, especially when you come into a community environment, like here we eat twice together, right? And a lot of times, you know, when we're down there and you don't go up and get a plate, people may or may not know that you're fasting. You may just be skipping a meal because you want to lose weight. They don't know, but it's still a secret thing, so don't let it trouble you. The reason that we all come together in the dining hall is so that we can see each other, be around each other. You know, pastor can gauge people's spirits or detect anything that might be going on. So, don't let this have Satan put a block in your mind saying, man, I got to run away and, you know, I can't show up for meals or whatever because I'm fasting or whatever. You're just not hungry. You're just not eating. Nobody has to know. You don't have to say anything. People are wise enough to know you may have something going on. Acts chapter 13. Now let me see. All right, this has to do again with separating people to do work in the Most High. I won't read the whole thing, but that's when the apostles set themselves to find out, you know, how they wanted the brethren to go out and minister, and they fasted and prayed, and the Holy Spirit said, you know, you separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work, and then you send them out. I'm just paraphrasing again, but we have a little bit more here to do, but I thought they got rid of that one. That pretty much, it's just repeating the same thing, okay? It's just going on with the same theme again that we've covered already. A couple notes I do want to make, though, before I let you go, is the fact that, you know, I want to recount something. I believe that this is important, that in this ministry you'll never find that, right? I don't believe you'll ever see that. But there are fasts that people have called religiously. So, you know, if you get organizations or different places or, you know, that are not of the Most High. I mean, I was subject to one of them back when I was with the Overcomer. We had this 10-day gathering, and the proclamation was Yah was going to do a mighty work. And the only reason I'm bringing this up, because we were fooled in believing that, you know, this was, we were going to be treated the Yah, and he was going to do this, but this was spoken of falsehood, right? And so we did. We fasted 3 days, the whole entire congregation, corporately, and nothing happened. The greatest thing that ever happened, that meeting when Pastor got up there and preached about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you saw the biggest move of Yah. All the other stuff was just smoke and mirrors. It didn't mean nothing. So not every fast that is proclaimed is something that's going to do anything. So we already know what, by the fruit of what the fast produced, that Yah wasn't with the one that was declaring it. So didn't find out till afterwards, but that showed us a lot again. So there has to be some type of witness in your spirit. And the other thing I was going to mention too, I read this back a while ago. I can't remember where it was. I tried to find it again. But science has actually found out, as they do so often, that a lot of the stuff that Yah prescribes for his people, not the other nations, but they actually find out that, you know, like, you know, the dietary laws, that there's a reason he says that, not only to show that our obedience and we can, you know, be obedient, show our love for him, but also to, you know, bring our flesh into subjection. But, you know, like pork, they find out pork is full of diseases, full of parasites, and you know, Yah said don't eat it. We don't have to know why. He just said don't. Well, now we're finding out later on why. The same with fasting. There's actually been scientific studies that show fasting is a huge benefit to one's body. And they actually said, I read this somewhere, and I like I said, I've actually started to in this personally. You can do what you want, but, you know, we talk about a lot of times when we come together for feast days and stuff, of course there needs to be prayer and everything to prevent the enemy from coming in. But if you want to personally protect yourself, I've been employing this for like the last three gatherings that we had. is that I purposely in myself go on a 3-day fast, because they found out that a 72-hour fast actually regenerates the entire immune system and strengthens it to a peak performance again. And it's worked for me. The benefit has been there every time. I've never come down. I mean, wasn't Passover last year? And we had the sickness go through again, and people were out standing outside their tents vomiting, and it was terrible. It constantly on the toilets. It was awful. And but I tried to fast long, and that's my own personal preference. But you know, I committed to a 3-day fast, and I never had none of the symptoms, right? And I just equate that to, you know, as I just have trust in that. It also helps get my mind clear and everything else for, you know, Yah coming here and visiting, because he's always mighty, shows himself mighty on the feast, especially when his people are gathered together. But anyway, that is the conclusion of tonight's blog talk. I really hope that you enjoyed it and took something out of it. My hope is that it helps you to take a look at your brothers and sister when they're in need, and your own self. I hope that it helps you to, if you got spiritual roadblocks in your life, you got principalities and powers that you just can't seem to overcome or get past, that you'll actually undertake this fast, seek the Most High, entreat His favor, and you know, see that He would deliver you and free you from the bonds of your enemies. So anyway, hey, again, it was my pleasure to be here to speak to Yah's people tonight. I hope you have a great week. Again, lift up your prayers for our pastor, especially our shepherd, Pastor Dowell, as he's out doing the work of the Most High, as he's committed his life to the works of the Most High and Yah's people. So lift up prayers for him. Lift up prayers for the leadership and one for another. Again, the Bible says, pray ye one for another that you may be healed. Who knows what healing is needed, but please, you know, what is it in Philippians that I quoted earlier? You know, esteem others greater than your own selves. So that's what you should purpose to do today. All right, love you, family. You have a great week. Look forward to being able to speak to you again in September, Yah willing. Shalom, the King is coming.